You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press. It is the Tuesday of Open Championship and Barracuda Championship Week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's great to have you here with us. We're going to go over the model results for the Open. I did not do one, just like I didn't do one last week. Well, I attempted to do one last week for the Barbasol, and it looked hideous. So we're just going to skip out on that. We'll talk a little bit about short-term form as well for the Open and the Open field. We'll look at that as well. So we've done that the last couple of weeks and seen some good successes with that. And then we'll touch a little bit on the Barracuda at the back end. So let's start with the model for the week. Last week, Rory McIlroy was number one. That's not shocking. And you're going to be surprised. He's number one again. Again, our model looks at 1 and 2 year windows of strokes gained performance and then weights that against competition in 1 and 2 year windows, looks at the last three times an event was played or strokes gained data. We really only have 1 year for that, by the way. And then also looks at the last five, in this case six, PGA Tour events played for strokes gained in those events. They're all weighted a little bit differently. You put them all together and you get this model. So the important things to note about this, the longer the window, if you stunk in the back half of the window, the weighting does not change. Like, you are who you are for 2 years. There's no increasing of weighting over time or anything like that. It is straight the same for 1 and 2 years. And I think that that's one of the things I really don't like about the official World Golf Ranking, is that they deprecate overtime but they do it in a way that it makes it works 1/91st at a time after 13 weeks. So I can live with it, but it doesn't factor the same way into the model. It'd actually be kind of interesting if we ever ran it that way, but I don't do it that way. And this model has been tremendously successful because I firmly believe that your long-term trends tell us who you are as a golfer. And what you do in the short term tells you what you may or may not add to that based on who you are as a player. And players can evolve, they can get better, they can devolve, they can get worse. Jordan Spieth was horrible in this model for the better part of a year and a half because he was bad for the back part of the model rating period. Now, he is 17th this week and obviously has kind of formed himself back into a clear top 20 player, even if he hasn't been particularly flashy this year. There are a bunch of live guys here at the top. Really, the top three guys are toward the top. Everybody else, whatever. So there are fundamentally three guys on live that matter. And I think we've seen that in the majors this year. And everybody else is, they might have an okay finish, they might play okay, but they're really not important. So that all in mind, here's the top 10 for the week. Rory McIlroy, number one. Cameron Smith, number two. Scottie Scheffler, number three. Now, Cameron Smith's going to get a benefit here of an average, right? He plays in the biggest events because that's the only thing he gets strokes gained data for. So take that for what it is and consider putting Smith more like fifth or sixth if he played more of a full schedule. But just keep that in mind. Cam Smith is two. Scottie Scheffler, three. Dustin Johnson, four. Same thing. Plays a limited schedule. Has been with Liv since the beginning. So now we're a year plus of data, right? So we've got nothing this year. And we've got nothing for the back half of last year. So very limited schedule. So maybe he shouldn't be fourth. He should be more like ninth. But just keep that in mind. Patrick Cantlay, fifth. Xander Schauffele, sixth. Tommy Fleetwood, seventh. John Rahm 8th, Tyrrell Hatton 9th, Colin Morikawa 10th. Now, I think Rahm is significantly hurt here because he hasn't played much and hasn't played particularly well since winning the Masters. Played great the week after at Harbortown, and that's really about it in terms of where he could be as a player. You've seen better play from these other players in more recent memory, and that's why they bumped up. And then we'll go a couple more. Matt Fitzpatrick, 11th. Victor Hovland, 12th. Ricky Fowler, 13th. Shane Lowry, 14th. Brooks Koepka, 15th. I think Brooks should probably be a little bit higher. Probably closer to 10. Maybe 8. And the reason for that is he's kind of stinky in the majors over the last couple of years. So that hurts his results pretty substantially. Obviously, it has a limited schedule, but this year has been brilliant. So when we look at the short-term model, the short-term information for players, you're going to see that obviously he is ranked extremely highly this year. A couple other guys to note. Denny McCarthy, 16th. Jordan Spieth, 17th. Brian Harman, 18th. Hideki Matsuyama, 19th. And Adam Scott, 20th. And we'll just give you the whole top 20. What's the difference? A lot of these guys we talked about yesterday, this is before I ran the model, and particularly on the back end here, you can see quite a bit of value. Denny McCarthy's playing great. He's $7,300 on DraftKings. He's 125-1 to win this tournament. Do I think he's going to make his first PGA Tour win at the Open Championship? Well, no, not necessarily, but stranger things have happened. I think who's up here is more or less who you expect to be up here. I don't think there are a whole lot of shockers, really. Maybe in terms of where you might expect someone to fall down, Max Homa 29th, but doesn't play well in majors. Cameron Young, 30th, gains a lot of strokes, but also doesn't finish. But this is based on strokes gained. Minwoo Lee, 32nd, probably would be ranked higher. He's going to be ranked higher in the short-term model. That's something to keep in mind. Depending on the kind of bet you're interested in making, you might want to look at someone like a Tony Finau in the top 40. He's made 6 of the last 6 cuts in the Open Championship. Doesn't miss. But that just means he might be comfortable with this style of golf or comfortable with his game traveling any which way. So that's something I wanted to point out about. There's always kind of flaws and asterisks in anything anybody does. And those are the flaws and asterisks of this model. That said, let's look at the short-term data. So let's look at short-term trends, last 10 tournaments played, keeping in mind that a lot of the best players have played rather sparingly in the last 10 PGA Tour events, right? Because you've got a bunch of tournaments they didn't play. Many didn't play the Rocket Mortgage. Most didn't play the John Deere Classic. Many skipped the Scottish Open last week, even though you had 30 of the world top 50. You had, obviously, the Barbasol, which nobody in the top 50 played. So you have a bunch of these events that are kind of just around there. And then you have the Travelers, which I think is an interesting marker, but not necessarily the best at telling you what's going to happen now, in part because it's the week after a major and a cross-country trip. It seems to be a golf course that kind of gives way to players who like it, and the guys who don't necessarily fare as well. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about our short-term focus, last 10 events played. So this is available for our members at golfnewsnet.com. None of the first names I'm going to go over are going to be a surprise to you, but you may find some value later down the line if you look further down on this tool. So we're looking at results for the last 10 PGA Tour events played. We're looking at three measures to determine where a player is. Total strokes gained per round on average. Quality strokes gained, which is a multiplier of strokes gained against the quality of your competition. And then strokes gained per average on the approach. I think those things tell you the most about a player. And obviously, if all of those things are lit up green on this tool, you're probably an elite player right now. You're playing great golf. If you have just one of them, I would rather you have, obviously, total strokes gained, really quality strokes gained, because now I know you're playing against better competition and gaining strokes on them. But approach matters. So if you're playing great approach play and you just haven't quite gotten there on the strokes gained measurement, let's figure out why, and maybe that tells us something. So let's start with the most obvious top 10 on this list. Koepka 1, Scheffler 2, Cam Smith 3, Wyndham Clark 4, Rory McIlroy 5, Tyrrell Hatton 6, even though he has not been particularly great on the approach. He's just border. He's near elite level on approach play. I look at 0.6 strokes gained per average on the approach. I mean, he's right there. Basically, every facet of the game looks very good. He's putting out of his mind lately. Ricky Fowler, Bryson DeChambeau, he's playing great on the approach. Is great driving, obviously. Great driver of the golf ball in terms of strokes gained. Marginal on the around the greens and putting. That may prove a downfall this week. Just something to kind of red flag a little bit. But worth noting. And then Xander Schauffele and Tommy Fleetwood. A couple guys I want to point out that are playing well on the approach. And maybe not at the elite level, but very high level on the approach. Justin Rose, elite level on the approach. Not so great driving the ball, but a very, very good on the approach. Over a stroke around. Colin Morikawa, over a stroke around. Not so great putting. That's okay. He's won an open. Slower greens help bad putters. Corey Connors, same thing. Gaining nearly three quarters of a stroke around. Playing really well. Not gaining strokes putting. But also not losing so badly that it's just hindering his ability to compete. Adam Schenck, playing really well. He's also playing against weaker competition. Russell Henley, approach play, elite level. One guy I will point out that I really like this week is Dustin Johnson. He's gaining strokes, but he's doing it by saving himself. His short game has been wonderful, but his approach play is just frankly not good. It's been very marginal. So if he can improve that at all over what we've seen, and we saw some clunkers, obviously, from him this year, but the PGA was not good. But if you see him for what he did at the U.S. Open, that probably turned this number around a lot. And he's been playing well in LIV. But a guy to point out there. Shane Lowry and John Rahm, those guys who have struggled a little bit in the last couple of months. Rahm has. But Rahm's playing an elite level on the approach, just not putting well. Shane Lowry doing everything pretty well and has been, the top 13 of his last three starts against high-quality competition. The other players I will point out gaining strokes on the approach on the elite level. Jordan Smith, people should like him quite a bit. And Hideki Matsuyama, a couple guys that are a little bit longer. Tom Kim's been gaining strokes very, very well on the approach, but everything else is just not ideal, not putting well. Patrick Reed is the opposite. He's gaining strokes really well, putting. He is terrible on the approach. And I think that sustains what he's done on LIV this year, which is it's a putting contest. They're set up to be putting contests. I think that tells you a whole lot about Taylor Gooch and why players win. You can either overpower the golf course and just be a great player, or you can win a putting contest. Not trying to diminish what Taylor Gooch has accomplished, winning on LIV three times, but that's where he's doing it, seemingly. And then another guy to point out here is Patrick Harrington, who's gaining strokes on kind of an elite level. Been playing against great competition, obviously, and he's also been lighting it up on the Champions Tour. So, got to point out there that's a good long shot. So, those are some names to take away from this. Brian Harman gaining at a very good level. Obviously, not a good driver of the golf ball because he's shorter and doesn't hit it very far. But other than that, he's playing really, really well. He's just on the border of playing elite level on the approach. Someone worth pointing out there. And that's probably, you can derive a lot, I think, from the short-term tool, because then you can know, okay, here's who hitting the ball really well. Maybe they're not getting anything out of it. And here's who's playing well, a more balanced attack. Here's who's just gaining strokes, and maybe they're doing it against elite competition. Here's who's gaining strokes playing well. Maybe they're playing weaker competition. So all that to take away from that short-term model. So that all said, look at where the market is. Remember DraftKings, you have plus 300 to any player to win. So if you want to take a short king, like Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, Scheffler's back as the lead dog here, but they both drifted a little bit. McIlroy's gone from 7-1 to 8-1. Scheffler's, actually, he's short just a touch. I think he was plus 750 when I saw him yesterday, but I don't remember anymore. I've seen him too many places. But he's the favorite at 7-1. Now you can both get at 10 and 11. So if you want to bet these guys in particular, you're probably going to get limited, right? Like, I assume you're going to get a max $50 bet or something. But if you want to take that action and try to hedge yourself here this week on the favorites, do that. Do that with DraftKings. Then you go over Wells and shop, right? But I haven't seen those odds or that kind of bonus elsewhere. Rahm's 13-1. Koepke 18-1. So some people got in there on him. I think he was 20 or 22. Cam Smith's drifted a little bit, surprisingly. I think 20-1. Patrick Cantlay as well. Shoffley, Hovland, 22. Seems like Hovland is just the forgotten man here. Hatton, 25. I think he was that. Fowler's gotten a little bit deeper. 25. I think you can bet on him. I don't understand why he's drifting a little bit. I mean, he's very, very well balanced here. Very good on the approach. Elite level on the approach. Very good putting. Very good around the green. I mean, what is not to like about that? Very well-balanced player. Dustin Johnson, 31, still out there. Got a little bit shorter, but he's hung in there. He may drift a little bit. Morikawa, 35-1. That seems like a great number. Lowry, the same, 35. Rose, 50, is hung in there. Adam Scott intrigues me way too much. I'm not going to bet him to win, but he's had a really nice year. And maybe you want to look at him on a top 10 or a top 20, get some nice plus money there. Corey Connors, people bet the heck out of that guy. He was 100-1. He is 60-1. The value's just not there now. But at 100-1, man, that was a good value. Bryson, I think you can make the case for gaining tons of strokes off the tee. I don't think that's going to be as much of an advantage this week at Royal Liverpool. I know it sounds like it's a little bit wet, but I'm not convinced, especially if it starts to get really pesky with the wind, which it sounds like the weather forecast is going to be challenging. Let's put it that way. And that challenging weather forecast could mean a lot of wind, particularly on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So let's look at, I'm just pulling this up from weather.com. Look at the 10-day in Hoylake. Don't look in Liverpool, look in Hoylake if you're looking at this. But if you look at Thursday, you've got constant 10 to 15 mile per hour winds. You're looking at gusts of 25 off the water. Friday, 10 to 20 mile per hour winds consistently, gusts 25 to 30. Saturday, rain, chance of rain 90%. So you're going to need someone who's probably a little bit of a mutter. 10 to 20 mile per hour winds. Sunday, a little bit of a slowdown, 10 to 15 miles per hour. But again, rain expected, chance of rain 80%. It is going to be wet on the weekend. It is going to be windy for the first 3 days. This is not going to be fun for the players out there. So you're going to need someone who kind of deals with bad weather. And that leads me toward John Rahm. I know a lot of people are going to skip him this week, because he hasn't been playing well, and I get it. But what he did at the Masters in just garbage weather, and what I've seen him do in the Irish Open in the past in garbage weather, leads me to believe he's a guy who will not back down in this stuff, that will really enjoy playing in these gross conditions. I think Tyrrell Hatton would be the same way, actually. Dustin Johnson's done pretty well in some not-so-great weather in the past. Shane Lowry certainly has. I think Colin Morikawa's thrived in not the best weather, but I don't think he's like a mutter kind of guy. And I think Hideki, you got to consider. We get back to the longer list, but Hideki, you got to consider. He was 100. He's now down to 70. But I don't particularly like him in the worst weather. So depending on the draw, maybe Minwoo Lee, who's done well in the Scottish Open, won the Scottish 80-1. Bob McIntyre's 80-1. I would like him more on a 10 or a 20 than a win. Russell Henley's 90-1. Justin Thomas has drifted to 90-1. Denny's been bet down from 110, 100, now down to 90. Probably a good play. Moves pretty quickly. Keegan Bradley's just sitting out there at 100, I think, for good reason. Some guys that showed up pretty well in the model that were interesting. Obviously, Patrick Harrington has done well, 180-1, just hanging in there. Brandon Grace, 150-1, is kind of hanging in there. Jordan Smith, I've seen a couple of people tout him. I thought he was closer to 250. He's now 200. I would consider getting in there. My European Tour guys, DP World Tour guys, 250s, Alexander Bjork and Torbjørn Olesen. I think both can do very well in these gross conditions. Bjork's a very good ball striker. Seamus Power, I do want to see what happens with his health. Yannick Paul's down from 400 to 350, so there's a little bit of money coming in on Yannick Paul, and I would be interested in that. I am probably going to put a couple of dollars on him. I have not yet, but I probably will just for fun. And then beyond that, I think that's probably good enough. Otherwise, you're starting to get into like Tristan Lawrence and Guido Migliozzi and Keita Nakajima, like guys that you might like at certain times, but you probably shouldn't like and definitely shouldn't like now. So we'll leave all that else well enough alone. What I love about the Open is if you look at DraftKings and you look at the pricing in the outright market, you can drift so far. I mean, there a couple of guys that were 5,000 to ones are gone. A couple of guys got a couple of dollars on them, which I think is kind of funny. So they went from 5,000 to one to 2,500 to one. But on DraftKings, they've priced it down to $5,600, which I think that's a little bit of a different strategy for them. Usually, you've got three, four, five guys in that 10,000 range, all between 10 and 11,500. Scottie Scheffler is so good right now. He's $12,000 plus, I think 12-1, 12-5, something like that, something ridiculous. But you go all the way down to 5,600. Normally, you kind of bottom out about $6,000. So that's how low the DraftKings folks think of some of these players that have gotten in the field. But hey, that's the beauty of the Open, I guess, is that you can have some players who are just happy to be there. So I wanted to point all those out. Wanted to do a couple matchups with you. The tournament two balls are out. Some interesting ones, of course. Fuller menu than you get most weeks. Dustin Johnson minus 155 over Max Homa. Yeah, that sounds good. I think that's a pretty good one. Minwoo Lee, I would take a plus 105 over Tony Finau. I'm pretty sure Tony's going to make the cut, but I think Minwoo's got a higher ceiling. Shane Lowry plus 115 against Tommy Fleetwood. That's a really good one. Shane Lowry's really close in the model. I think I have to take this one and go take Shane Lowry, even though I can absolutely see Fleetwood playing great, but I think plus 115 on Lowry makes more sense. Koepka and Hatton, minus 110s each. That's an intriguing one. I would take Koepka in that matchup. Trying to find a little bit more plus money that might be interesting here. Colin Morikawa against Jordan Spieth. I would think I would take Morikawa at minus 130 there. Lou Eustason's minus 120 against Sahith Theegala. I would take Sahith Theegala at even money. Little matchup of some live guys. Taylor Gooch and Patrick Reed, both minus 110. I don't think either is going to play well, but I would take Taylor Gooch over Patrick Reed, given his ball flight. Not a whole lot of other plus money to be interested in there, so I wouldn't go feasting on those matchups in particular. And then some tournament props we talked about yesterday. The top senior market is kind of interesting. You have seven guys who are 50 and above in this field. Patrick Harrington is plus 140, and here's who he has to beat. Phil Mickelson, who's been nothing but awful after the Masters. Richard Bland. Stuart Sink is actually an interesting play here because he has played well in his US or his PGA Tour champion starts, the couple that he's made. Ernie Els has done the same, plus 850. Darren Clark, 16-1. John Daly, 80-1. I would want to get some odds that John Daly even finishes two rounds before withdrawing. I think your argument here is, my argument was going to be Patrick Harrington, easy money. But Stuart Sink is an interesting marker, young enough to challenge him, but I think it's Patrick Harrington. This feels, I hate saying free money when it's not free money, but that feels like one of those you got to get in on. Then top debutante. This is an interesting market because there are a lot of them this year. A lot of guys who are making their first Open Championship appearance. But the top of the board is Denny McCarthy, Rasmus Højgaard, 7 and 9 to 1. Ewan Ferguson is 12. Yannick Paul, Taylor Moore, Nick Taylor, Adam Schenck, and Davis Riley are all 14-1. I could be interested in Schenck and Paul at 14. I love Denny, but I would just bet Denny outright. Or on a top 10, you're going to get a better number there. Everybody else is very suspect. Hurley Long is interesting at 30-1 to me. He pops a little bit on a couple things in our model. Could be worth a look. And I think that is an interesting market. I haven't looked at that one previously. So those are some ones to throw out there. Top former winner, you have, 15 former Open champions in the field. This is a market I don't much care for, I don't think, because there's just enough of them to be weird. But winning margin, we've talked about this before. I think 2 and 3 are your answers. Just leave 1 playoff and 4 alone, because there's an expectation this is going to be a blowout. I just don't see it with the wind. I don't see it with the weather. I mean, someone could it can happen in a great conditions event and a poor conditions event, but I just don't think that blowout's possible. 72nd hole, winner to birdie the 72nd hole. Yes, +110. Yeah, I actually could get on board with that. Winner to eagle, 72nd hole. Winner to par, 72nd hole. Nos are the popular, right? They're the minus money. I think +110 to birdie the 72nd hole is a yes. Some additional props for the week. Some dual forecasts. Basically, do you want 1 and 2? That's such an interesting market. I wonder how far this goes. There's so many different combinations, but it goes up to 601. But you basically pick offers to go exact to 1, 2 in order. I don't think you can go with that. I understand why people try to do it, but I wouldn't do that. USA winner, yes, +120, no, -155. Same thing on a European winner. Rest of the world winner, +400. That doesn't give you too many players, though. So I would probably, why wouldn't you just take a yes on both of them? I mean, obviously, you're not going to get, it's not a 2-to-1 thing, right? But you could, I think you're going to have more confidence, frankly, in an American winner. That's just me personally. I'd go +120 on that, but and then a no on the European. That's how I would probably play that. Then there's some live specials. Now this is kind of interesting. Live specials. I haven't not seen this in the Open previous or in the majors previously this year. I guess because now we're all kind of friendly with one another. Apparently, they brought this out. But DraftKings has the lowest tournament score for the live players, and there are 16 of them on the board here. Cam Smith +275. Brooks Koepka +350. Dustin Johnson 5-1. Bryson 9-1. You could find a really interesting value if you think something crazy is going to happen, but that they're not going to win. If you thought like Louis Oosthuizen was going to play really, really, really well, which he could. 12-1. Maybe he's not going to win, but could play very well. Brandon Grace, same thing, 20-1. Interesting play there. Those are interesting things if you, I wouldn't play them personally, but I think those are kind of fun wagers to have. Now, I do want to turn to the Barracuda Championship just for a little bit, a couple minutes. I didn't run a model on this, but I did look at some recent results. Steven Yeager is now 14-1, so he's been bet up a little bit, and I get that, but you can't bet him at 14-1 now. Taylor Pendrith and Keith Mitchell are 20-1. Taylor Pendrith's driving accuracy could be a problem here. I think that's a very real concern. Bo Hossler has been bet up a little bit. I liked him earlier. He's now 25-1. Nicholas Lindheim has been bet a little bit. He was 35, he's now 30. Akshay Bhatia, 30 interests me. Justin Suh, 35 interests me. He's been bet up a little bit. Here's the problem. When we do this show and we do picks, and same thing with like Ben Coley and other guys who are very, very good at this. Once they kind of put out into the universe what they're interested in, the books start to move. And seeing it again and again, and you kind of have to, and maybe we have to adjust our strategy. I noticed it especially this week. The second, like the podcast came, I was like, oh crap, that moved. Can't do that. A lot of the stuff happens on Monday with the super early movers. And sometimes the Monday bet is the right bet. But I think most of the time it's not. I think you're willing to give up a couple of points to make a more educated bet, knowing the draw, the weather, maybe how a player's feeling, how they're talking, if they have a news conference. I think that's worth it, unless you get such an extraordinarily bad price number that you just got to take it blind, a little bit more blind. Not totally blind, but a little bit more blind. So we've seen some, obviously, markets move here. Chez Reavie was 40. He's 35 now to win this. So it's just been a more consistent player, but Chez loves this particular field. I think Ben Coley's got it right, though. And I've talked about that a little bit. Troy Merritt is 75-1 now. He almost had a good crack at this a couple years ago. He was, I believe, 100 or 110. So people got in on that real fast once we started talking about that. Ryan Moore, 90-1. Guy you should be looking at. We talked about Russell Knox. He really has not moved, which I'm kind of surprised about. He's 130. He's one of the ones, given the pricing, I would still jump on if you haven't jumped on him already. And then he liked, Ben Coley did, Kyle Reifers at 450-1. I'm just not going to go that far on this. But I could be interested in Aaron Cockrell at 130. Kind of comes out of nowhere every now and then. Not much money, not a conviction play, just a, hey, it might be interesting to have. And then Cody Gribble at 180-1 interests me as well. Probably put a couple dollars on him too. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I appreciate it. Tomorrow we'll settle cards, get everything ready for the week. We don't really have any majors to look forward to on the men's side, obviously. That's done and dusted for the year, so we don't even have futures to think about there unless you want to start thinking about Augusta. And if you are, please don't do that. That's way too ahead now. But we could start talking a little bit about future events on the LPGA Tour. We do not have odds. I know there is an LPGA event this week, the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational. It's a team event. They don't have odds for that I've seen in any book. Maybe up tomorrow for some reason. If there are, we'll talk about it. Otherwise, we will just act like it never happened, apparently. And we'll wrap everything up, get ready for the week. If you'd like to send me a question or you have a comment or just want to talk, shoot me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter and Threads and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. Appreciate everything that you do, making the show a reality for us. It's fun to do it, fun to see it grow over the last few months that we've been doing it. Really started last fall, and it's been cool to see it blossom a little bit. And hopefully some more announcements on that end coming soon as we kind of take this a little bit more to the masses. Back tomorrow with another show. Thanks so much for your time, and we will catch you next time on The Press.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.